There are 250 ways to start an essay about Captain Cook. It turns out poet and scholar Alice Te Punga Somerville has done just that with her new book called 250 Ways to Start an Essay About Captain Cook. It's part of the Bridget Williams Books Collection. And she joins us on the line now, also from Kirikiriroa. Hi, Alice.
Kia ora.
Thanks for joining us today. How did this book come about?
So the book I was originally, it came out of an essay that I was asked to write for a journal of New Zealand history. They were doing a special issue that came out last year about how we commemorate things, historical things, obviously Cook being the big thing we were thinking about last year. And it sort of first started its life as this essay, and then I guess with Bridget Williams' books, we've kind of decided there might be a broader audience for the strange long 250 long list of things I came up with.
What were your thoughts as you sort of embarked on the job of writing about Cook?
I mean, my first thought was to not do it. As a Māori scholar, I kind of felt like, actually, there's a lot of things I'd rather talk about than Cook. And then I thought about it a bit more and thought, well, maybe I can use the opportunity, you know, Cook can sort of be my ticket into a room, into an audience, where I can actually talk about heaps of other stuff, like Indigenous resistance to Cook and also just other kind of centres for Indigenous people than Cook. And then, to be honest, by about halfway through, see, 250 doesn't sound like a lot until you literally write on a Word document 1 to 250 and you're trying to fill them in. And turns out it's a really big number.
Yeah.
So I was like, what else could I do? What else, you know? And so it involved kind of thinking about things that I teach in university classes, going back through kind of other research projects, which didn't sort of have Captain Cook in the title, but it turns out, you know, a lot of these things connect. And then doing a little bit of kind of original research as well and just having conversations with people.
Yeah. And how did that structure sort of help you? What was the advantage of using that structure?
So the 200, one of the things that I really struggled with was, you know, we just have all these kind of single, you know, fully formed stories of Cook, and whether they're kind of Cook was amazing or Cook is the, you know, spawn of the devil and everything in between, they just all seemed like really kind of standalone, singular, full stories. And I was interested in thinking, well, what happens if we didn't actually try to finish any of the stories and had just heaps of starting points? So I guess what I'm interested in is kind of going, well, it draws our attention to the many perspectives and the many starting points, and there's not just one approach to any topic, and especially something like this one.
I've got to ask, have you come across the Janet Malcolm essay, 41 False Starts?
I haven't. Obviously, yeah. I'm not doing my work properly.
No, I only bring it up because I have that book, and it, I thought of it as I read through yours, and she's a critic for The New Yorker, and she writes about a painter, and she starts 41 times to try and write this essay about him, each time a completely new approach. And yeah, there's something about the structure which is pretty appealing. Mind you, 250 makes 41 look like child's play, to be honest, Alice.
Yeah, man, I don't know what she's been doing with her time.
Could you share an entry with us?
Yeah, so it's been interesting. Of course, the book came out and it was partially the first kind of 49 entries were profiled through the I Tangata site on Sunday. And so a lot of people have given me feedback about one entry in particular. And it's one that I sort of get why it connects, but I wondered if I'd share this one because it seems to connect with quite a range of people.
Right.
It's called By Pushing Back. It's number 34. One of the projects of Indigenous people is to push back against colonial narratives. This is the bit I describe to my students as walking into a room on the TV show Hoarders, getting a broom and a rubbish bag, climbing over all the junk until you get to the centre and making a space that reveals some of the floor underneath. If you started at the door and tried to work your way in, you'd get discouraged by the sheer size of the job. This is probably how people end up on Hoarders in the first place. It's not that they trash their room in one day, and it's not that they can't see there's a problem. They just get tired when they stand at the doorway and start timidly picking through things. So tired, they can't tell the difference between rubbish and keepsakes anymore. So overwhelmed, they confuse tiredness with sentimentality. But when you clamber over the junk to the centre, you can see how much of it can be discarded. And when you see this floor again, for the first time in years maybe, you feel a bit emotional. You see a glimpse of the floor and you suddenly remember how the room used to be, but also how it could be. You suddenly realise with a shock that when you see the floor, you shift your focus on the junk piled on top of it. You used to see a room full of hard work. Now you see an alternative future. You could live in this room again.
Well done. What sorts of things have people been saying to you about that piece?
So some of it's been quite specific. Someone has described it as the clearest description of equity work in universities that they've ever read. I think people have connected with it because we kind of do have this sense of like there's so much to think about, and it's all so big and it's just all a bit exhausting. And I think one of the things that we maybe don't talk about a lot is kind of the emotional investments and the feeling of like, oh my gosh, if we're now going to deal with this massive history and with, you know, ongoing stuff. And that's one of the things. It's not that we're talking about a room that was trashed and then has been closed for 250 years, you know, with children being stolen from their families this year. We have all of these things continuing to pile up. And so I think sometimes it just feels like, oh man, it's too exhausting. Like I wouldn't even know where to start.
Yeah.
So people seem to think that they like the idea that, you know, I don't know how many else had the guilty pleasure of quite enjoying watching Hoarders. but you know, that there's kind of reality TV shows, but you know, they kind of cue into some kind of emotional feeling I think we can all have about our relationship with junk and our reluctance to do something that is gonna make a better house for everybody. And you kind of know that, but it's just a matter of kind of being prepared to do the job, and maybe starting at the centre is where you do it, which I guess ultimately is why I ended up talking about Cook, much as I've spent the last 15 years of my life trying to avoid him.
Exhaustion, such a suitable word. I read pieces this week from Leonie Hayden on the spin-off and Te Aniwa Hurihanga Nui on the RNZ website about their own experiences, Māori female journalists, and exhaustion comes up again and again, right? Dealing with all this crap over and over and over again and sometimes finding it overwhelming. So thank you for the work that you've put into trying to demystify it a little and trying to attack that giant pile of rubbish. It must feel pretty good to have the book to be able to hold in your hand.
Yeah, it does feel good. It does feel good. It's a little one, so it was a nice process. I'm used to publishing with academic presses where you kind of send something off and then 2 years later a box, you know, turns up in your mailbox. So it's really nice to have it here. But I would also add that one of the things that I enjoyed about the book was also the hopeful stuff. So even though I've talked about kind of the, you know, as an Indigenous woman academic, I'm deeply fatigued and run out of hope every day and all the rest of it and so tired. But actually, there's a lot of hope in here. And that's one of the things I like about the book too, that it's been an opportunity to kind of go, look, Indigenous people are doing amazing work and are doing amazing things and are talking about more interesting things than Cook a lot of the time. So, you know, I kind of hope this is the end of Captain Cook for me, but the starting point of kind of, understanding, you know, the range of Indigenous experiences and what's possible really for this place.
Good for you. Nice to talk to you, Alice. Thanks so much.
Kia ora.
Alice Te Punga Somerville, whose book is called 250 Ways to Start an Essay About Captain Cook.